I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hear now the reading of God's Word. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. So in the reading of the word.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the reading. This scripture, as with many of the scriptures, in fact, almost all of the scriptures that we ever look at, have meaning way beyond anything that you would see on the surface. It's like midsummer weather, things start to heat up in the middle of Matthew's gospel. Matthew gets rolling along, and as he gets toward the middle, we really get to see some stuff. Things really explode. For example, in chapter 12, it narrates several stories of Jesus' conflicts with the Pharisees, who are now plotting to destroy him and have accused him of working for Satan. By the end of chapter 12, Jesus appears to be at odds even with his own family. And at the end of chapter 13, the very chapter Mike just read from, Jesus will be rejected by his hometown. Why is Jesus encountering so much hostility? Why does so many disregard his message and discredit his ministry? These are important questions, questions we not only should ask about the events in the scripture, but about those in our world today. Jesus teaches from a boat, but his teaching is earthy. Using images of seeds and soil, this parable is unusual in that Jesus offers an allegorical interpretation of it to his disciples. The interpretation focuses on reception of the seed by various kinds of soil as an allegory for varying responses to the word of the kingdom. The interpretation raises some troubling questions. For instance, who qualifies as good soil? You may be sitting there thinking you do, or that you don't, and someone else does. But who really does? Since soil cannot change itself, is there any hope for the hardened, rocky, and thorny soil? Are these individuals Jesus refers to destined to be unproductive forever? Well, Matthew's gospel offers examples of each kind of response to the word, so we'll see what he says. There are many in Matthew's story who hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand, including the religious leaders who are antagonistic to Jesus' ministry from the beginning, which we can find in chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel. The crowds respond positively to Jesus, especially to his miracles of healing, yet turn against Jesus at the end and demand his crucifixion, leaving us to wonder whether they ever truly understood. The disciples themselves might be included among those who fall away when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. And then, the rich young man, unable to part with his possessions, provides a stunning example of one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. And what about the good soil? Who are those who hear the word and understand it, who indeed bear fruit and yield an abundant harvest? In Matthew's story, it seems they are the least likely ones. Jesus tells the chief priests and elders, and hear these words, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Wow. The least likely ones. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, the righteous bear fruit by serving the least of these, and even they are surprised to find they have been serving Jesus. Remember the cupbearer story 2 weeks ago? Sometimes it may be just giving someone a cup of water who is on mission for Jesus, and you've got yourself a place in heaven. What about the disciples? Will they ever bear fruit? After telling several more parables, Jesus asked them, "Have you understood all this?" They confidently answer, "Yes." Yet subsequent events will reveal how little they truly understand and how quickly they will desert Jesus to save their own skins. When Seth was little, I would take him to the doctor to get his immunization shots, which they usually gave in his leg. He would look at me and say, "It really hurts, Daddy." He didn't understand the shots would help him stay healthy. All he knew was the shot hurt and Daddy just stood there. I knew he had to be thinking, "Doesn't Daddy know how bad these shots hurt? Isn't he able to stop the nurse from giving them?" So he goes to kindergarten and tells all his friends his daddy has no idea how painful his shots were and how powerless his daddy was to stop the nurse from giving them. Truth is, Daddy did know how painful the shots were, and I was not powerless to stop it. Did his daddy care? Certainly. I suffered to see my boy suffer, but I knew it was in his best interest to have them. The problem is a child's understanding is limited. For him, it was about pain. For me, it was about health. That being said, as children of God, our understanding is limited. The disciples' understanding the word was limited, as was the understanding of all who heard and will hear the word. What is remarkable is that in spite of these failings, Jesus does not give up on the disciples. In fact, he continues to invest in them, even to the point of entrusting the future of his mission to them. Jesus calls Peter the rock upon which he will build his church. Even though Peter's understanding of what it means that Jesus is the Messiah is confused at best. Although Jesus knows full well all the disciples will desert him and Peter will deny him, he nevertheless promises them, "But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Jesus does meet them in Galilee, as promised, and with all authority in heaven and on earth given to him, turns them loose in the world to carry out his mission. When I think of the disciples, or many of us who take on being a follower of Christ, I think of uncertain things. For example, have you ever stepped on ground that seemed unsteady, but you really had to go on just to get where you were going? Last year, Laura, Seth, and I took a trip to Galveston. We stopped at a nice restaurant on the south end of the island near San Luis Pass, where they had outside gazebos. We had steamed chicken and herbs beside the flowing stream. It was really nice. The flowing water, the setting, and the dragonflies around buzzing over the prairie grass across the stream all added to the taste of this meal. After we finished, we decided we wanted to wade or walk in the stream. There was a very small sandbar or bank in the middle of the stream, while the rest was pebbles and rocks. Laura cautiously stepped over to the sandbar. She didn't put all of her weight in that first step, afraid she would sink in the sand. Have you ever sunk in sand? I have, unfortunately. Then a little more weight, until she was standing on the small sandbar. Then she took another step with the same apprehension and the same hesitation. She found out it was solid and able to support her, so she began walking around without a care in the world around the sandbar, and Seth joined her. Once the apprehensive thoughts disappeared, she began to focus on what was around her. In faith, she stepped out and realized and rejoiced the ground was able to support her. In a way, that's the faith we read about in our scripture. Knowing with faith God will support us, that the ground of or our ministry is not without the love and guidance of the Lord. You see, that's what we are to do. We are to step out. Sometimes that first step is hard, shaky, or uncertain, but we take it anyway because we have faith in God. We trust in God. So the question our scripture asks us today, do you trust God? If you're not trusting Him, you'll never take that first step. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to take that seed of faith and replant it? You see, the disciples, they're following Jesus, and as they follow, they're like, well, I'm not really sure. Got to be careful where I step. Because what if the Romans come after us? Or even worse, the Pharisees, the head of our faith. What if they, and Jesus is just walking along. Come on, guys, let's get it going. But they're very careful. They don't want to put their full weight into it. So what happens? They come, they grab Jesus, and the disciples run. They didn't think the ground was safe. Matthew's story has given us little reason to have confidence in the disciples. Little reason, that is, except for Jesus' promise. Especially significant is Jesus' promise at the very end of the gospel. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This brings us back to the parable. The main character in the parable, of course, is the sower. That's the main character. The sower scatters his seed carelessly, recklessly, seemingly wasting much of the seed on the ground that holds little promise for a fruitful harvest. Likewise, Jesus invests in his disciples who look unpromising. He squanders his time with tax collectors and sinners, with lepers, the demon-possessed, and all manner of outcasts. Yet he promises his sowing of the word will produce an abundant harvest. Jesus says that. He's throwing that seed everywhere. Would you have guessed some of the people who became devoted to Christ would have, based on what we read about them? Do you believe they would have, based on what we read about them? Do you believe that? Some of the things we hear about people in Scripture, and they become devoted to Jesus and following. Prostitutes, tax collectors, the lame, the blind. And yet the disciples are saying, I'm not sure. I can see, I can hear, I can walk, I can talk, I can do all the things these other people can't do, and I'm not so sure. How does that work? You ever been in a dark room? You can't see? Wasn't that long ago I was. All the electricity went out on the Arkansas side. I was in my apartment, and I'm standing here, and I'm thinking, I can't see a thing. But I had faith, so I sat down. Figured that was about the safest thing I could do. as close to a chair. But some of us do that. We just say, well, it seems kind of dark, so I'm just going to sit and not do anything. It's very interesting how these things happen. He squanders his time, it says, with tax collectors and sinners and lepers and demon-possessed, all manners of outcasts, and he says they'll get in before we do. That they would be good soil is amazing. Isn't it ironic those we would have thought would be good soil weren't? Sadducees, Pharisees, people who have studied Scripture, people who knew the goodness of God, and they had trouble believing. Do you? With all that you know, do you have doubts? It is not difficult to find contemporary examples of the various responses to the word depicted in Jesus' parable. Having the word choked out by the cares of the world and the lure of wealth seems to be a particular problem in North America. One should be careful, however, to avoid equating the various types of soil with a particular person or group, and especially to avoid equating oneself or one's community with the good soil. If we are honest with ourselves, we can probably find evidence of several kinds of soil in our lives, and yes, indeed, in our congregation on any given day. It is noteworthy Jesus does not use the parable to exhort hearers to be good soil. Nowhere does he say you need to be good soil. He doesn't say that. He just throws the seeds. It's not like we can change the soil. If there is any hope for the unproductive soil, it is that the sower keeps sowing generously, extravagantly, even in the least promising places. Jesus' investment in his disciples shows he simply will not give up on them in spite of their many failings. We trust he will not give up on us either. But we'll keep working on whatever is hardened, rocky, or thorny within and among us. We trust in his promise to be with us to the end of the age. As those entrusted with Jesus' mission today, we might consider the implications of this parable for how we engage in mission. Too often we play it safe, sowing the word only where we're confident it'll be well received, and only where those who receive it are likely to become contributing members of our congregation. Sometimes, in the name of stewardship, we hold tightly to our resources, wanting to make sure nothing is wasted. We stifle creativity and energy for mission, resisting new ideas for fear they might not work, as though mistakes or failure were to be avoided at all cost. Jesus' approach to mission is quite at odds with play-it-safe instincts. He gives us freedom to take risks for the sake of the gospel. He endorses extravagant generosity in sowing the word, even in perilous places. Though we may wonder about the wisdom or efficiency of his methods, Jesus promises the end result will be a bumper crop. What Jesus says to us in this text is, keep working the soil. Keep working it. Don't give up. Go outside these doors. Go to the houses around you. Keep planting the seed. Go out. Get it done. You can play it safe, but you're going to find yourself in trouble if you do, because you need to bring people to Christ. Yes, there are rocks, thorns, and other poor soil, but like Jesus did with his disciples, we must keep working the soil for the word to grow. For those of you who have gardens, after you grow a bumper crop, the next year, do you just not grow anything? Well, I had a good one then. Do you just give up, or do you work that soil and you make it go again? I bet Frank Cottle could probably tell us a lot about working soil and making things grow. A few others in here could too. You don't just walk away because one year you have a bad crop and you don't stop just because one year you had a good crop. Never give up on working the soil. That's the message. Jesus didn't, and neither should we. Jesus had disciples who would do anything to be safe. Lord, do you realize you're going into Samaritan territory? They don't like us. We need to run. Jesus says, we're going into Samaritan territory. That's what I do. Lord, be careful. You go into Jerusalem, you know that you got the Sanhedrin after you and the Romans. Jesus says, let's go. Let's do it. I got to plant seeds. I can't play it safe. There are people who need to hear the word. There are people who want to hear the word. And I am that person who is going to bring that to them. You remember when they got in the boat and they went across the water and here comes a crazy man running. His name is Legion. And the disciples are all like, oh, we need to get back in the boat. Jesus says, nope, I'll take care of it. This man needs to hear the word. Can you imagine? Well, he's crazy. He needs to hear the word. Is that what we do? We run if we think somebody isn't quite ready? Or do we go ahead and we throw that seed out there? Doesn't matter if it's thorny or rocky, whatever it is. Jesus says, do it. So today, as we look at this scripture, let us remember that it is for us to work the soil. We can do it generously. We can do it extravagantly. We are here to do the ministry of Jesus Christ, who never played it safe. Proof? He died. It doesn't sound safe to me. Sounds safe to you? Jesus went because that's what Jesus does and expects of us. Keep working the soil. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you today, we come knowing that oftentimes we do like to play it safe. It's so much easier to be in these walls, to talk to each other, to love each other, and to let each other know about you. But Lord, the truth is, we know about you. We need to get out there and let others know about you. Not play it safe, but work the soil. Be with us, strengthen us, guide us, and give us courage, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.